The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. If you want to know what's really going on, as opposed to what the Wall Street media machine wants you to think is going on, then you're in the right place. You are listening to the Thunderbolt on Free Radio Olympia, 91.9 FM in Olympia, Washington. This is the voice of the revolution. Listen at your own risk. Yeah, it's the toothless old grandpa. I stole Mr. Thunderbolt's microphone while he was outside smoking marijuana. This week, the Thunderbolt suggests that you go yourself. Then we analyze and solve the problem of Ted Nugent. We describe how false flags are used promote fascist agendas, and I finish up part two of my piece on Honduras. And then Mr. Thunderbolt explores child abuse done under official auspices. Yes, kids, it's the Thunderbolt for April 15th, 2016.
Damn, Grandpa, I can't leave you alone for 1 minute, can I? The Thunderbolt would now like to suggest that you go yourself. It has reached the point wherein if you don't have an FBI file, then you are not doing your civic duty. It is so very easy to get an FBI file these days, after all. If you would like to see what kind of information that your loving government is keeping on you, then you can go yourself. Yes, you can FOIA yourself. This comes under the Freedom of Information Act, or FOIA, wherein you can legally insist upon seeing any and all information that they have on you, or else hear the reason why not. I suspect that some of you may be very surprised. And now it's the time you've all been waiting for. Yes, it's time to rock a few walkers and roll a few wheelchairs, because the toothless old grandpa is standing by. Hey, Grandpa, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, you not only do not know how I do it, but you never will know how I do it.
Possibly. So I have been led to believe that you have some more information about Honduras that you could not fit into last week's show.
Yes, evidently there were some people around here who thought there was other information around here. It was more important than what I had to say about Honduras, and so they preempted half of what I wanted to say.
Well, we all have our priorities, so why don't you just go ahead and take it away, Grandpa?
Well, you damn rootin' tootin' I will. Shortly after assuming office, Barack Obama emulated his self-proclaimed most admired president, Ronald frigging Reagan, and sponsored a coup that overthrew a popular and democratically elected government in Honduras.
Obama's people then further emulated Reagan by replacing a popular and democratically elected government with a bunch of mass-murdering fascist graduates of whatever they are calling the School of America these days.
You can't be running around hiding behind your mask.
Then they further emulated Reagan by lying to us about it. United States immediately recognized the coup government, but everyone else in the Western Hemisphere failed to follow suit. They instead unanimously expressed outrage at a foreign-backed military coup overthrowing a popular and democratically elected government in Central America. Even the CIA's obedient little puppet government in Colombia denounced the coup. However, while our local fascists still don't have carte blanche to just start outright murdering our own domestic environmentalists, union organizers, and journalists wholesale, so black people are open game, they can, and indeed they do, in a very widespread manner and on a quite massive scale, in fact, murder environmentalists, union organizers, and journalists in foreign lands. Especially if those foreign lands are occupied by non-white people, such as Honduras. The installation of Obama's right-wing fascists, they have been acting just like right-wing fascists always act when American dollars provide them with immunity to prosecution for heinous crimes against humanity, i.e., they begin committing heinous crimes against humanity. This is so predictable as to be axiomatic. I am thinking that Obama's people must have predicted this. When fascists get free reign,
They always invariably and without fail mass murder, torture, blackmail, corruption, rape, and all the other fun things that a small handful of very sick people like to do so much, undeviatingly becomes the new normal. It is axiomatic. Honduras is now one of the most dangerous places in the world for environmentalists, union organizers, and journalists. Mission accomplished. Change always comes from the bottom up. Change never comes from the top down. We cannot wait for Superman or Wonder Woman or even Jesus to come riding out of the sky to save us. Why, we cannot even depend upon Bernie Sanders to save us. No, kids. The only way to bring about true change is to start a movement. Then, once your movement gets big enough, your, quote, leaders, unquote, will jump in front of your parade, and they will pretend that it was all their idea in the first place. In order to change our world, we need to change how people look at our world. And as far as figuring out how to change the way people look at the world, we need to draw people's attention away from the dark and ugly of the world and turn it instead toward the light and the beauty of the world. Now, the most effective time to instill the light and the beauty of the world into someone's worldview is during their childhoods. Therefore, it would seem to me that turning the lives of hundreds of thousands of children into living nightmares is very counterproductive as far as focusing their attention toward the light and the beauty of the world and away from the darkness and the ugliness of the world. There are approximately 400,000 children in, quote, foster care in our country. A large percentage of these children are there because they were abused by their own families. Regardless of why they are there, though, upon arrival, they are immediately wrapped into the cold steel arms of the state. And in many cases, they are then abused even further. And often in novel new manners. These foster kids are the exception to a lot of rules. I forget the exact percentage, but they are several times more likely to spend their lives in prison than children who were raised by their own families. The teen pregnancy rate in the United States is way down for all child demographics, except for these foster kids. Girls in foster care, in fact, are four times more likely to become pregnant
before their 19th birthdays than children that have been raised by their own families. Nearly half of female teens raised under foster care, in fact, become pregnant before age 19. Now, Linda Bryant, who is a clinical professor at New York University's School of Social Work, says that when children are deprived of families during their youth, then what they hunger for more than anything else is a family. In lieu of a family, though, then drugs and or gangs often act as a stand-in. In addition to the existence of widespread emotional, physical, and psychological abuse, most states also drug their foster kids quite freely. Yes, you heard me right. Most of our states drug foster children. They do this in spite of the fact that this practice tends to cover up the problem rather than fixing it. Drugging these kids makes them easier to deal with, because taking on the hard task of actually healing the children from the many wounds from which so many of them suffer would be an expensive pain in the ass. That is, expensive if you ignore the long-term paybacks, which have been shown to be phenomenal. However, all future benefits are completely ignored for the sake of the short-term convenience of the quote adults that operate these systems. Dai Sugano, DaiSugano, and Karen Desa of the Bay Area News Group recently conducted a year-long study of California's foster care system. Ms. Sugano and Ms. Desa learned that, as I've been reporting in the Thunderbolt for years, physical, sexual, and psychological abuse is rampant within our foster care systems. They also learned that 1 out of 4 foster children receive powerful psychotropic drugs, in spite of the fact that this is absolutely uncool in the first degree. As usual, our wonderful machine is spending a lot of money to make a problem much worse than it was originally. The kids they tend to drug also tend to be the quote problem unquote children. In addition to living in a constant drug haze, their solution to dealing with these quote problem children is to constantly shift them from one home to another. Ms. Sugano and Ms. Desa documented one case wherein a young girl was in 50 different foster homes and group homes before her 15th birthday. That's 50 homes before her 15th birthday. Ms. Sugano and Ms. Desa learned that 62% of these drugged out kids are receiving antipsychotics, which is the most powerful class of such drugs. Ms. Sugano and Ms. Desa learned that these kids are not being given these drugs as part of a treatment, but rather as nothing less than chemical restraints, a use for which these drugs were not designed and for which they are absolutely not recommended. Ms.
Sagano and Ms. Desah found case after case after case indicating that state officials are much more concerned with, quote, maintaining order, unquote, than with properly dealing with broken and very fragile children. Ms. Sagano and Ms. Desa's study also revealed that many of the group homes insist that certain children receive these drugs before they will even allow them into their facilities. Now, it is important to keep in mind that many of these drugs do indeed perform miracles amongst mentally ill people. Schizophrenia, for instance, can often be held at a dull roar with these medications. However, these powerful drugs are not supposed to be used transforming active children into dull-eyed zombies. Many ex-foster children have reported that they were falsely diagnosed with some bizarre psychological disorder in order to justify drugging them rather than providing proper treatment whenever they reacted in what have now been documented to be very predictable manners to various forms of child abuse.
Attack of the killer tomatoes, attack of the killer tomatoes. They'll beat you, bash you, squish you, mash you, chew you up for brunch, and finish you off for dinner or lunch. They're marching down the halls, they're crawling up the walls. They're gooey, gushy, squishy, mushy, rotten to the core. They're standing outside your door.
In the short term, these psychotropic drugs can indeed chill out violent children. The problem is that they tend to chill out everything. They impair a child's ability to learn. Weight gain, obesity, and diabetes are also common side effects of taking these drugs. And the long-term side effects of using them on children have yet to even be studied. And I suspect these long-term effects will be nasty as well.
Remember Hermit Farbage? While taking out his garbage, he turned around and he did see tomatoes hiding in his tree. Now he's just a memory. I know I'm going to miss her. A tomato ate my sister. Sacramento fell today. They're marching into San Jose. Tomatoes are on their way. The mayor is on vacation. The governor's fled the nation. The police have gone on strike today. The National Guard has run away. Tomatoes will have their day.
Another factor Ms. Sugano and Ms. Desah discovered was that between 2010 and 2013, the drug companies that manufacture these medications gave foster care prescribers $14.2 million for meals, travel, gifts, speaking engagements, and company-sponsored research projects. That means that this class of doctors received an average of $15,000 each from the drug dealers during this period. Well, maybe the scientists and researchers did not intend or recommend that these drugs be used for pacifying children, but it would seem that the Wall Street profiteers have absolutely no problem whatsoever with drugging kids for profit. Or with bribing doctors to help them in their efforts. Gee, I'm shocked. Then, when these kids turn 18, they are cut loose onto the streets with no money, no home, no job,
no prospects. And often, not only with a state-induced drug habit, but a state-induced drug habit that the state is no longer paying for. Things often do not turn out well.
And I believe therein lies the root of probably about 90% of our problems. But there is hope for these kids. There are people who are proving that there is life after foster care. There are doctors who are working on curing these kids with things as simple as healthy diets and regular exercise. And it seems to be working. The overall outcomes for these kids dramatically improve in a vast majority of the cases. Maybe now these kids will stop focusing on the darkness, hate, and ugliness of the world. They will now be able to start focusing on the light, the love, and the beauty of this world. For how you see the world depends on how you look at it. And with that, it's time to take a quick station break. The Thunderbolt will be back in just a minute. The views expressed on the Thunderbolt are my views, and no one else's. Those views do not necessarily reflect the views of any of the stations that air the Thunderbolt, nor anybody that has anything to do with any of those stations. And now, back to the Thunderbolt.
We interrupt this program with some more breaking news. In the same short few sad days that the world has lost David Bowie, Alan Rickman, and Eagles founder Glenn Frey, Ted Nugent continues to be alive. That's Ted Nugent, still alive. Ted Motor City Madman Nugent, still alive. And now, back to the program.
Ted Nugent provides endless fodder for political comedians. When Facebook was flooded with pictures of Mr. Nugent standing over a bear he had just shot and killed, I used the opportunity promote the right to arm bears. Especially if Ted Nugent happened to be around. Well, Mr. Nugent has done it again. He recently stated that he prefers guns to women. And therein lays both the problem with Ted Nugent and the solution to Ted Nugent. Since he is making specific sexual reference and stating his preference, then I assume that Mr. Nugent is specifically saying that he prefers having sex with his guns as opposed to having sex with women. While having sex with a gun could likely be a mind-blowing experience, even if it is one that I personally choose to eschew, to
to be fair, Mr. Nugent referred to the fact that a gun always functions in the same manner, whereas women are, quote, unavailable for certain periods of the month. And I must concede the accuracy of Mr. Nugent's argument. Guns do indeed always function in the same manner, whereas women are indeed unavailable for certain periods of the month. But I could list a few advantages that sex with women has over sex with guns, but that is beside the point. Because as I said, within Mr. Nugent's preference for guns over women lays both the problem of Ted Nugent and the solution to Ted Nugent. Someone should suggest a few kinky positions for Mr. Nugent sometime. And now, my children, it is time once again for our bi-weekly scrutinization of infinity. Yes, it is time for the wisdom of the Thunderbolt. And this week's wisdom is being brought to you by the Olympia chapter of the Union of One-Eyed, One-Horned, Flying Purple People Eaters for Donald Trump. Yes, indeed, children. I hope you are prepared for your enlightenment, for this week's wisdom is this. When dealing with the world, one can either laugh about it or cry about it. And the wise person usually chooses to laugh, both because laughing feels better and because laughing makes you much more popular at parties.
Next, the Thunderbolt presents a study on the use of false flags in promoting fascism.
Well, I have been right there in the front lines screaming about the undue influence of money on our democracy. I have also noted that our votes still ultimately trump their money. Why, our votes even trump Trump's money. After joking for years that if voting actually changed anything and then they would make it illegal, the machine is indeed currently engaged in massive efforts to make voting illegal for many millions of people. It turns out that in both the current and the previous election cycles, the third-party big spenders, with their hundreds of millions of secret dollars, have been receiving jack-all in return for their investments. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders is being amply funded strictly from the grassroots. And Donald Trump never needed their money in the first place, and it has turned out that he doesn't even need to spend much of his own money due to the constant breathless media coverage of every word, gesture, and move that the man makes.
Now, this happened in the last election cycle also. Karl Rove spent hundreds of millions of dollars during the midterms, and he succeeded in placing a grand total of one of his candidates into a House seat. One of Rove's donors is now suing him for fraud. Yes, kids, the truth is getting harder to hide. Meanwhile, economists who are trying to convince the public that our economy is improving often point to the auto industry as a light at the end of the tunnel. Well, you know that you can always count on the Thunderbolt to fart in your economic church. For indeed, I can assure you that that light at the end of the tunnel is actually an oncoming train. So do you remember that scam that culminated back in 2008, wherein the banksters handed out, quote, subprime home loans like hotcakes at a church breakfast to anyone who could sign their name, both knowing full well that these people would never be able to pay these loans back? But the banksters didn't care about all that, because they subsequently bungled and sold all those debts under fraudulent conditions to unwitting investors. And do you remember that this practice eventually collapsed our economy, and the government subsequently gave trillions of free dollars to rich Wall Street banksters and then presented welfare mothers and disabled people with the bill? Well, guess what? The current economic success that our domestic car companies have been enjoying has been fueled by... Maybe you should sit down before you hear this. Believe it or not. Actually, believe it. This economic success is being fueled with subprime loans. And yes, indeed, all of those loans were subsequently bundled and sold under fraudulent conditions to unwitting investors. And yes, indeed, their bubble is about to burst. This all reminds me of a common definition for insanity. And in a final example of a false flag attack, Jeremy Scahill recently revealed that this whole FBI versus Apple encryption battle was almost certainly a theater of the absurd. For Mr. Scahill claims that according to people who know this stuff, the NSA can crack an iPhone, no problemo. And this almost certainly means that the FBI can too. But evidently, Mr. Scahill had no direct evidence of that, so he would not say that. So a few days ago, the FBI announced that they had, quote, found another backdoor into the iPhone, and so that they were dropping their suit against Apple. These people are so transparent that it is almost disgusting, as this is an indication of their utter incompetence. The FBI obviously did not sue Apple to create a backdoor into the iPhone, as they already had one. They sued Apple because they wanted to set a legal precedent that it is illegal to keep any secrets whatsoever hidden from them. And then, for whatever reasons, they were very embarrassingly forced to back off and admit that they had a backdoor already. And now with that, it's time to get to work. And thus ends part one of the Thunderbolt, Why You Should Be Upset. Next comes part two, What Can Be Done About It? Across Cascadia, the masses are arising in response to
the Olympia Action Alert
for the week of February 29th through March 6th, 2020. Also later today, Saturday, February 29th, they're going to be canvassing for Bernie in Lacey. This will be from 2 to 5 p.m., and they will be meeting at 3805 College Street Southeast in Lacey. This event was organized by the Olympia Democratic Socialists of America, and this is their message. People will be joining us to talk with our neighbors about policies like Medicare for All, social housing, and a Green New Deal, and about how these can make their lives better, and about how Democratic Socialist campaigns like Bernie Sanders are important to winning these. We always provide training, and we pair new canvassers with experienced door knockers. These conversations are the way we will build a movement for freedom and equality. And again, the only contact information I have is a Facebook event and a long website that I'm not going to read on the air. So again, they're going to be canvassing for Bernie in Lacey, Saturday, February 29th, 2 to 5 p.m., meeting at 3805 College Street Southeast in Lacey. All right. And now we move on to Monday, March 2nd. It's the monthly Power to the Public meeting. This will be from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at KXXO Mix 96.1, and that's at 119 Washington Street. This event was organized by Bruce Wilkinson, and this is his message. The first Monday of each month will be our big meeting. It's the meeting you're all invited to. Its focus is on rallying. It starts with a potluck of food and socializing at 5:30. At 6:30, we call the meeting to order. Expect to hear some chants. We hear updates from all the committees and good people. We make affirmative decisions. We present a short Skillshare, make announcements, and then call it a good night. We will be finishing with chants, poetry, songs, or whatever else is good and exciting, or something like that. Remember, fun is fundamental. And again, a Facebook event is the only contact information I have here. So this is the monthly Power to the Public meeting. This is for public power in Thurston County, by the way, if you didn't get that yet. There's a big campaign to invite Puget Sound Energy to leave our community and let us generate our own power. This is Monday, March 2nd, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Mix 96 meeting room. That's at 119 Washington Street. All right. And now we jump to Tuesday, March 3rd, and Saturday, March 7th, from 10 a.m. to noon. It's a bicycle commuter basics class. This will be from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Intercity Transit Walk and Roll Youth Education Center at 215 North Washington Street. This event was organized by Intercity Transit, and this is their message. This is a hands-on workshop to prepare people to ride their bikes for transportation. This class is helpful for new or current bicycle commuters who want to learn more. This class will cover selecting your gear for safety and comfort, planning your route, following the rules of the road, and taking the bus with your bike. There are actually two dates to choose from: Tuesday, March 3rd from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. or Saturday, March 7th from 10 a.m. to noon. For information, you can contact Kay Wilson at intercitytransit.com. And that's the letter K, Wilson, at intercitytransit.com. They are asking $5 per person. So again, this is a bicycle commuter basics class, Tuesday, March 3rd, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., and Saturday, March 7th, from 10 a.m. to noon at Intercity Transit Walk and Roll Youth Education Center, 215 North Washington Street. Also on Tuesday, March 3rd, and running through Tuesday, April 7th, we have a series of workshops: How to Organize More Effectively for the Climate. These workshops were organized by Glenn Anderson, and this is his message. Sign up now for this informative, inspiring, and practical series of 6 workshops. They will run from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. on 6 Tuesdays from March 3rd through April 7th. The Thurston Climate Action Team is sponsoring this series, and these workshops are open to everyone who wants to protect the climate. These workshops will inform, inspire, and empower everyone, regardless of how much experience you already have. People who want to register or ask questions are contacting the facilitator, Glenn Anderson. His phone number is 360-491-9093. Again, that's 491-9093. Or emailers can send an email to Glenn Anderson with an O at integra.net. That's for a series of workshops, How to Organize More Effectively for the Climate, a series of 6 workshops running March 3rd through April 7th. Yes, and now we go to Thursday, March 5th. Renters, share your story at the upcoming Olympia City Council Forum. This will be at 5 p.m. at the Washington Middle School. That's at 3100 Cain Road, C-A-I-N. This event was organized by the Washington Community Action Network, and this is their message. The renting crisis is hitting all of our families hard, and we need the Olympia City Council to act with urgency. Council members need to take action and pass renter protections. People will be sharing their stories at the upcoming City Council Forum to tell council members why we need protections against exploitative and discriminatory slumlords. For information, contact Ty, T-Y, at WashingtonCan, all one word, .org. And that's for information on renters. Share your story at the upcoming Olympia City Council Forum, Thursday, March 5th, 5 p.m. at the Washington Middle School, 3100 Cain Road. Also on Thursday, March 5th, we have transracial adoption. You know, that's actually something I really haven't thought about that much. I could probably learn something from this myself. Anyway, it's from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Olympia Center, 222 Columbia Street Northwest. This event was organized by the Washington State Society for Clinical Social Work, and this is their message. Steve Wilson, Ph.D., will draw upon years of in-depth research to discuss the best means of supporting families who are considering or who have performed transracial adoption. Lecture and interactive discussions will lead attendees to further explore how best to support the development and adjustment of adopted multiracial children related to ethnic and cultural identities different from their parents. And no contact information except a Facebook event. So again, this is a talk on transracial adoption, Thursday, March 5th, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Olympia Center, 222 Columbia Street, Northwest. And now we come to Friday, March 6th, and Saturday, March 7th, for the matter. They will be having a UMW rummage and estate sale. This will be at 9 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church of Olympia. That's at 1224 Legion Way Southeast. This event was organized by the First United Methodist Church of Olympia, and this is their message. We sell quality used goods at bargain prices. And on Saturday, you can buy an empty grocery bag for $5 and then fill it with goods from the general merchandise area. Proceeds from this sale help UMW donate funds to many charities, including the Family Support Center, Senior Services, the Young Women's Christian Association Programs, Safe Place, the Union Gospel Mission, the Salvation Army, the Thurston County Food Bank, Habitat for Humanity, and more. And I do not have any contact information here, even a Facebook event. So this is the First United Methodist Church of Olympia Rummage and Estate Sale, Friday, March 6th and Saturday, March 7th, starting at 9 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church of Olympia, 1224 Legion Way Southeast. Also on Friday, March 6th, it's a Socialist Social. This will be from 6 to 8 p.m. at Vic's Pizzeria, and that's at 2822 Capitol Boulevard Southeast. This event was organized by the Olympia Democratic Socialists of America, and this is their message. Members, new and old, and anyone interested in the local are encouraged to come to our community socialist socials at Vic's Pizzeria at 6 p.m. on the second Friday of the month. It's a great time to get to know your fellow socialists, have good conversations, and good food. People who would like more information, and people who are interested in joining, and people who would like a chance to meet one of our organizers, can contact us at dsaolympia@gmail.com. So again, this is a socialist social, 6 to 8 p.m. at Vic's Pizzeria, 2822 Capitol Boulevard Southeast. And finally, also on Friday, March 6th, it's a Vision 2020 party. This will be from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Olympia Unitarian Universalist Congregation. They are 2315 Division Street Northwest. This event was organized by the Olympia Unitarian Universalist Congregation, and this is their message. The Teen Faith in Action Leadership Council invites everyone to this fundraiser for organizations that help to combat homelessness and food insecurity in our area. People will be joining us for some all-ages fun, including baked goodies, an open mic, live musical performances, games, and even more. People will be bringing their talent and their donations to this party to have a blast. And no contact information except a Facebook event. I guess that's normal these days. So this is the Vision 2020 party, Friday, March 6th, from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Olympia Unitarian Universalist Congregation, 2315 Division Street Northwest. And that's it for the calendar this week. And that's it for the show this week. Hope to see you next week.
Thank you very much.